Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, on toilet paper, sitting in US, staying co-host Amanda. I'm sorry, that was so bad.
That was terrible. Yeah, thank you. Hi. And I would just like to clarify that I'm not sitting on toilet paper. I'm sitting on the floor, but my microphone is resting on paper towels.
Oh man, details.
I know. I just wanted to clarify that in case people thought that I was in the bathroom or something.
I mean, maybe it's a very great acoustic in your bathroom. Who knows?
Maybe that's where I should like retire the closet and record in the bathroom.
Maybe it's worth a try.
Maybe there's plugs in there. There's no plugs in here.
You have plugs in your bathroom?
Yeah.
Isn't that actually really dangerous?
Apparently not. Well, like everywhere else in the world thinks it's dangerous except for here.
You can reach with a hairdryer to the bathtub, no problem.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh man.
Survival of the fittest.
Well, yep, maybe.
Maybe.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Just hanging out in the good old US of A and enjoying the sun because sunny Florida has proved and lived up to its name.
I mean, I see you sitting there in a tank top, so I guess that's a good sign. I am only covered in my blanket. If I could, I would wrap my head in it, but then I couldn't talk properly. So I see the benefit of the warm weather right now.
Very good, except when I'm literally sitting in a closet that has no ventilation. So maybe throughout the length of this episode, you might see me in less than a tank top. I'll just be like, Monica, I can't.
That's the benefit of a podcast. I mean, the benefit or the problem issue of a podcast.
Nobody gets to see me take my clothes off.
Nobody gets to see you take clothes off.
Except for you.
Well, except for me, but I'm not sure if I would pay money for it. I mean, no. I would pay money for it, but oh man, I can't dig myself out of the dump that I'm, whatever.
It's okay. Boobs don't interest you, so.
Yeah.
It would just be like, all right, Amanda's sitting there in her bra. Oh, there go her pants. Oh, she's passed out. I should probably call Tom. Yeah.
If you hear a loud bump, then it was Amanda, probably.
Yeah. So yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, as one might hear, I have a bit of a cold going on after a weekend of sick. Came abruptly with high fever, made me binge a lot of stuff again. Now I can blame the sickness and the being ill for watching a lot of TV on the weekend. I'm now all up to date with the UK history because I've watched all seasons of The Crown. yep, that happened. I mean, I've always had a thing for you Brits, the royals and shit. So yeah, I had to watch it.
That's good. My mum likes it. She doesn't like the latest season.
Why?
I don't know. What is it about? Something about... Oh, I can't remember what she said, but she doesn't like it.
Maybe Olivia Colman is not her cup of tea.
Well, to be fair, she told me that while I was, like, half asleep. So, no wonder I can't remember. But, yeah, I also got to binge a lot on the flight coming over. I got to watch 3 movies.
What did you watch?
Finally saw the live-action Aladdin.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, I wish so hard that I had seen it like back when it came out, because that would have been one hell of an episode to record.
I know.
Oh, it was so fucking good.
You wanted to do it, but then it didn't happen, right?
Yeah. Like, I really wanted to see it live. Well, live. Just sit in the audience and be like, oh, hello, Will Smith. How are you? You look marvelous as the genie.
I mean, a bit weird to be fair, but yeah, quite
I was
okay
down with
still.
it. It was fine. It was just like, it was a bit weird, but it was like fine.
Yeah, borderline
And
fine,
then,
I think.
yeah. And then I saw the Men in Black International with Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth.
Ooh.
It was pretty good. But I've been having this like knack lately where if I'm reading something or I'm watching something, I'm like picking out whodunit pretty early on.
Oh,
And
damn it.
I've been right like 95% of the time in the past few months, and I'm just like, is it me? Am I getting like really good at this, or is everything just really fucking predictable these days? And I can't decide if it's predictable or I just am consuming way too much content that all of these tropes are just like
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. And I'm just like, I mean, it was fine, but saw that coming.
I think storytelling is really difficult. Somehow, sometimes, I mean, we talked about this in the episode just previously, that you have to write the story in such an amazing way that it gives away hints occasionally, but not too many hints, so you're not like, that's make that makes sense. Or you have to write such a smart story that it makes sense if it comes all of a sudden. So I think it's probably really, really tricky to get the shit across.
Yeah, it's true. I would say that the original Aladdin was probably my favorite Disney movie. Like, I've always loved it. Just the whole concept and the songs are my favorite out of the, like,
Yeah.
I always go back to them. And this so far is definitely my favorite live action, and I would almost say that I like it more than the original.
Which you, I think
Almost.
you totally can.
Almost.
Especially if you, I mean, I watched the original like the day after. I watched the live action because I don't know how many years ago I've watched the original the last time. Easily like what, 25 years? Yes, people, I'm older than that. I'm even older than that. But then I mean, you know that you've seen the movies, but you don't remember what actually has been going on. So I watched them just also to compare what they changed in the movie, and it was amazing. So in comparison, like even right after that, they can go shit, really.
Yeah, well, I would be. I've probably watched it fairly recently, like maybe within the last 6 years, which
Yeah.
for a Disney film as an adult, that's pretty recent,
That is
I
pretty
think. Yeah.
recent.
And I would say that like the changes that they did were not totally bad. Like they were, or not obviously they weren't bad because it was fucking amazing. But they weren't like that far off the original. Like, I actually think the original was really good for what it was at the time, like in 90, what did it come out? 94, 95, doesn't matter, because this episode isn't about Aladdin, though it should be.
It should be.
It should be. I'm just like so impressed with the change that they've made that has kept it with the original story, because obviously it's an old story as well, and then Disney took it over. But and then they've just made it modern and feminist and freaking amazing, and I love
Yeah.
it, and I love it, I love it, I love it.
Yeah, it's true.
Sorry.
I think I think it's a really great movie now for young girls. It's a good, empowering movie for girls nowadays, which we don't have enough of yet still. So I think that's why it's just awesome that they did what they did.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just like, it feels like the original was a movie about like loving who you love, and it's okay to love who you love.
Yeah.
When this one is just like, you can be anything and also love who you love.
Yeah. I'm wondering sometimes how different my life would have been if I had more movies like this when I was a kid. Like more empowering role models on television or in movies or wherever, really, because back in our days, that wasn't really the case. And now it's just starting to get way, way more normal to see all of that, which is just amazing. And I think it does something with you.
It does. It definitely does. I'm pretty sure I cried out of pride again. It was like a whole Captain Marvel moment when I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I had the tears. And even though, like, these movies aren't affecting, like, my development as a child, I still get that, like, yes, there's just this pride. And, like, they are going to affect children, like little girls and like little children who identify as girls. Like, they're going to affect their lives and be like, yeah, like, look at that. There's a cartoon character that looks like me. There's a cartoon character that acts like me. There's just,
we look at it now in retrospect and from a whole totally different position, being like, That is, as you say, the moment of pride, the yes, it's finally here situation. We haven't had that for so long. And those are the stories we want to see. And those are the things we want to listen to and watch and see ourselves in. But that wasn't that obvious when you were like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. So that's way more subconscious, that empowered storyline, that empowered storytelling. So it's not up for discussion if people or if girls are even thinking that, because I don't necessarily think if you're of a very young age that you have that notion of I want to see myself somewhere, but alone the fact that you are there and that the stories are empowering makes you more empowered as a person.
Like, it just becomes this thing where you just accept that you are there. Like, it's not something like, oh my gosh, like, okay, yeah, that is me up there. You're just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
More people that look like me, more people that act like me, more people that do what I'm doing. Like, I think that I was lucky because, yes, I did watch like a lot of cartoons and stuff as a kid, but I was old enough to start watching Buffy when she first came on TV.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think that Buffy was a really great role model. Like, she came out in, what, 97?
Yeah.
And she was a pretty great role model. And then the books that I read when I was a kid were very, like, they had quite strong, like, girl role models in them as well. And I always identified, my favorite book series, The Boxcar Children, I always identified with, like, the lead character in that. Well, like, there was two girls and two boys, and I always identified with the eldest girl. I was like, she's amazing. She's just like me. She's so cool. You know, going back then to Men in Black International with Tessa Thompson, it was, like, her character was obviously really empowering as well. It was kind of cool that I watched, like, two back-to-back films that were all about strong women and, like, taking hold of these movie franchises and putting a twist on them, like a girl power twist, which isn't a twist, it's just like a fact of life kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's something we haven't had before. I mean, there were how many Men in Black movies? 3 of them, and there were like 90.9% male in the male main actors.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the occasional side role of a strong, I mean, the villain was once female. And then the romantic interest of Will Smith in the third movie even. So, but that was that.
Yeah. So when Tessa Thompson's character, I won't give too much away on like the plot, but when she first got to the Men in Black, like underground secret facilities, and she was meeting with, I think it was actually Gillian Anderson was playing the lead in it. But I'm not 100% sure. Not the lead, but the head of the agency.
I have issues recognizing her now that she's so skinny and blonde. It took me a while in sex education to figure that one out, to be fair. So I'm like, I don't know if I would notice it now.
Oh, sorry. I was incorrect. Okay. When Tessa Thompson's character met Emma Thompson.
Ooh!
Character. Which I thought that was Gillian Anderson. They kind of look the same when they've got like their short blonde haircuts. But anyways, she welcomed her. Though. Yeah. She welcomed her to the Men in Black. And Tessa's character like looked at her like, fucking Men in Black. Like, are you serious here? And she goes, Men in Black, I know, I've brought it up before, but they don't seem to care.
And, like, that's, they just, amazing.
You know, joke about the fact that it's called the Men in Black. And I'm like, this is great. And then towards the end of the film, Chris Hemsworth's character, like, obviously they save the day, and no spoilers, but
yes, they do. I mean,
they always save the day. And he was all like, oh, it's so great to be part of the Men and Women in Black. So it was like cheesy and over the top, but it was definitely welcome. And I was like, yeah, this is good. Like, this is good. Like, okay, yeah, they're making a point of being like, we're bringing more equality into the Men and Women in Black.
Also, it's just that raising awareness on that stuff, because I think so many things are not even in the conscious reality of people. Like, they don't even notice that that's actually not really amazing that it's called just the Men in Black. They're women there as well, and yeah, maybe it needs some different something else instead or something, but just making that a point in the movie with a little humoric spin on it, it just releases the tension and you can laugh about it and but still start to think about it. So It's pretty cool.
No, I was actually listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was about the type of language that we use, and I know that we've talked about this as well, but the type of language that it's so geared towards men and mankind and like fireman, and even something as simple as like a manhole cover, like to cover a sewer. I don't know what they call them in Austria, if they have a different name, like a sewer cover, like to go down into the sewers and the pipes underneath the streets, and they've got covers on them.
Can I take it? It's really just nothing. It's nothing to do with men, but sure. Yeah, that's called what?
It's called a manhole cover.
Why is it a manhole cover?
I don't know. I don't know why it's called that, but like even something like that, just instead of calling it that, calling it like a sewer cover, call it actually what it is instead of a manhole cover. I guess it's because it's a man-made hole in the ground, so it's a manhole cover. I have no idea what the etymology of that word is, but like it was just it's these things that it's like, okay, you just make simple tweaks to the language and all of a sudden you're making something so much more inclusive. And like I really enjoyed the men and women in Black's take on that. it was good.
I like and that.
I have to say as well that Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson they're just fantastic on stage or on screen together.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we see them again.
I think we will. Probably in the Men and Women in Black too.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, I've got no idea, but they should. And also,
I mean, Thor, Love and Thunder. Let's hope they see. Because I really like her as Valkyrie. Like,
so good.
I think she's it's a really great role as well. And when she's flying the Pegasus, it's just amazing. So I need her again.
More Tessa Thompson, just more in general. I love her.
I mean, I wasn't even really a fan. I was never really a fan of horses, but I have a thing for a Pegasus. Can't even explain. Maybe because it's flying.
They're just so pretty and majestic.
Maybe it's that. I don't know.
And the wings. The wings are really cool. And the fact that like they come from Greek mythology, it totally helps. I'm really just a sucker for Greek mythology.
Yeah, we had so much in Latin of that, and I read a few books about, like, there is some author here who, like, rewrites mythology in a way. Doesn't Stephen Fry do that a bit as well?
Yeah, Mythos and, I can't remember the other one.
Yeah, I think maybe in a similar kind of way, though I think I want to read Fry's approach to this, because he's hilarious.
Basically kicking myself that I didn't actually pick it up.
So all three of them were available for £1 and you didn't take them with you?
No, it was just the first one, just the Mythos. I was getting two books for Tom and I was like, oh, there's nothing here that I really want. There's nothing else that he would really want. So I'll just get the two and like not waste it. And then I heard how good Mythos was and I was like, oh, fuck.
Damn it.
Yeah, but apparently there's a whole lot of Greek myth feminist literature out right now or coming out.
Nice.
There's a book called Circe, C-I-R-C-E, and a few others. And they're supposed to be like really, really, really good, really good, strong feminist literature. So I've got my eye on those as well.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So much to read, man.
I know, so much to read. And there's just so much more now about, like, just with strong women. And it's like, yeah, it's about time.
I wish there were more, when I was a kid, like, more also children's books to read. From not only, like, young adult ones, but even for, like what parents read to their kids kind of books. Because I think that's something that is really helpful with parenting and educating kids and growing strong kids when mm-hmm. they see in drawing books, for example, with cute stories that being different is okay and not being the norm is okay and these kinds of books. I think that really does something with the psyche of a kid when you see that even if you're a bit off the normal scale or people would will draw the normal norm, that you're still a special person because you're you. And yeah, I don't know if Cinderella and all the princess stories that you used to get did the trick there.
No, not so much. I do think that there is more coming out now because there is a drive to be more diverse.
Oh, yeah.
And just more open and everything with kids books. There's a woman in Northern Ireland who has actually started a kids book club that runs every week, and it's celebrating diversity through children's books.
Nice.
It's like a reading circle, and it's her and a friend of hers helps host it as well. And they just invite kids from all over Belfast, or they can come from as far away as in province as they want, really, but it's mostly in Belfast, so people mm-hmm. travel. And she's doing great things with it, and it is helping kids open up like a conversation that they probably didn't know they needed to have, but it's yeah. like it's definitely helping, and it's helping their parents as well.
Yeah.
Because Northern Ireland is still quite a small country and there's not a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
So like her wee boy is mixed race and he has faced racism and things, and he's only 6. So
people are so shit, eh?
People are shit. And the racism, like a lot of times it's actually come from his classmates, like his 6-year-old classmates, like just being pretty rotten to him. And her book club is actually doing a lot of good for kids as well, just because of the
it's a thin line between what kids say without even meaning it badly. I mean, six people with 6 years, you can't really say that anymore. Kids mm-hmm. with 6 can be evil as well. But we had an issue with my best friend over here. Her boy is like 4 now, but when that was the case, she just started to go to kindergarten, so around 3-ish or something. There is a girl there with darker skin, right? And my best friend is obviously quite woke as well, and they're not racist at all and anything, and it would never call someone with a darker skin color anything like, oh, she's like brown or whatever. And he just when he's told me about that girl, he was not thinking about anything and saying, yeah, she has a brown skin, and like in a very weird way where he was like, whoa, 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 where did that come from? And she was like, we were talking about this then, how even he has never heard it from them, they still like are so aware of things going on in their lives that children just either say things they don't mean in a way, but also repeat stuff that they heard from wherever. Mm-hmm. And it's really painful if there is no one to talk you through that or to talk them through that. So I think doing that with books is like really, really important. And if the parents at home don't do it, then I guess schools and kindergartens should step up and do that instead.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a story that another local businesswoman in Belfast told, and it was about her son went to school and came home one day and said, "Mom, I think there's an undercover princess who just started school with us." And he was like, "She's beautiful."
Which could be a thing in the UK.
Could be. He's like, she was wearing the most beautiful dress. She's so beautiful. I think she's a princess. and she it turns out that the girl was wearing a sari. So she was from like the Middle East. She was wearing this really beautiful sari. And anyways, he came home from school about 2 weeks later, and he started talking about the wee packy girl in his class. And his mom, like my friend, was like, "What are you talking about?" And he was like, "You know, the packy girl, the one that wears the dress." And she was like, "The girl you thought that was a princess." And he was like, "Yeah, that's what everybody calls her." And she was she had to have that conversation, like why it was not okay to talk, like to call her that. And like,
first of all, she has a name.
Yeah, first of all, she has a name, and you don't call somebody a wee packy girl. Like, but this is just the kind of place that, like, she never uses that language. Yeah. Like, she is like not at all like that at all. And so obviously, like, those kids' parents, like other kids' parents, have used that kind of language with the kids pick up on. And then the kids who's even like their parents don't use that language, like it all just grows and grows and grows. And I think that that's a huge reason why, not just with books, but with more representation and diversity in TV shows, like in kids' shows, is it's really important.
Yeah, for sure. I've been watching a lot of shit lately, obviously. Also, that there is this how Toys That Made Us on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And I've watched the episode with Barbie. Mm-hmm. And that was so fascinating as well, like how they tried to introduce... I mean, first of all, best spoiler about all of that is Barbie comes from a doll that Germans made back in the days as a basically a whore doll. So it was like from a comic in a magazine where she was an easy girl, and she was always sitting on, and she was a bit of a slutty one. And men had actually made the doll wasn't made for girls back in the days, but she was like an easy woman and a bit of a whore. And that's where they took Barbie from. They brought that doll back to the US and then made Barbie out of it.
Oh my gosh.
So that's first of all pretty amazing.
Yeah. But then, like, at the same time, I'm totally not surprised that, like, there was a German doll about that was, like, a wee bit loose or something. Like, I'm just like, well, this is just, like, I'm not surprised. Europe and their sex culture.
Yeah, true. And yeah, that they have, it was on the one hand the way to show the girls that it's how to live their life, so that they had a really tough time getting that doll on the market, because everyone they had to talk to they were all guys. First of all, and it took them, it was always kind of a method or thing that they wanted to use. Wow, I was so elaborate with my wording right now.
Yeah, I was really just like, I'm not sure what you're saying right now, but carry on. I will let you talk this through. Have you heard of the American Girl Dolls?
American Girl Dolls?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so they've been around for, well, as long as I can remember anyways. They're very much a thing, I think, pretty much only in America.
They're American Girl Dolls.
Yeah, and because I had never heard of them until I moved to the States in 1996, and people are like, oh, my American Girl doll. And basically, it's a doll, and they come in all different skin tones and hair colors and everything, so you can get a doll that looks like you. So it's always been quite a progressive company, because I remember, like, I was friends with a girl from India when I was in grade 6 or 7, and she had an American Girl doll that was Indian, and she was like really, really pleased. She was like, oh, this doll looks like me. And I was just like, that's cool. But like back in grade 5, grade 6 year old Amanda was just like not super into dolls. So I was just like, cool, like that's cool.
Whatever doll.
Yeah. But now they've gone even more. Like, it's not just a skin tone and hair color. They have made them with different disabilities. Like, they've got hearing aids, they've got wheelchairs, they've got bald dolls, so you can, like, if you've got alopecia, if you're like a little girl's gone through cancer and you have no hair, you can like have dolls like that. And they've broadened their range of races and ethnicities and like clothing options, and it's like they're just doing amazing things for a doll company. Like, they really are making it accessible for a child to be like, this is me in doll form. Like, this is my doll friend who is exactly the same as me. It's really great. Like, for a company that was always pretty progressive, to just be being even more open and diverse and progressive. And it's awesome to see. And I'm glad that little girls have that kind of representation.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they are custom made. Like, you don't necessarily walk up into a store and be like, oh, I'll get this one that looks just like me. Like, a lot of times the parents have to make them on like a website.
Okay.
But it was always like that. Like, they were one of the first ones to have a website.
Wow.
So you could do more custom, and it's cool. It's like Build-A-Bear, but not a bear, and it's a doll, and it looks like you.
Nice. I think that's an amazing idea.
Yeah. I'm just like, more like this, please.
Yeah. I mean, they did try to do that with Barbie for a while, then that didn't happen. Then they had the rivalry with the Bratz that came out in 1990-something, mm-hmm. because they were super diverse. And so they had to, yeah. Super interesting to watch as well, because you see how, first of all, how this toy market is really monopoly. Like, there are a few big companies and that's it, and they buy just all the different kinds of things, and how they think, how it goes together with when a movie comes out, or even how some series or movies are even created because of toys. It's a really cool series, you have to check that out. And it's also really interesting gender wise because, yeah, fuck man, eh? If you watch it, because they have all these old people, like these old people who worked back in the days when that was invented. So when they focus always on a series, so they have one for all the different things. The Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe, and which we didn't really have, but Power Rangers, and how that all worked. And they were like, if I say 90% men, I am not wrong. And really only with the Barbie one, there were like majority women. And how difficult it was to get the use of a Barbie doll across for men, because they had no idea. Also, the Barbie had boobs, so that was something totally inappropriate for them. Because whenever they saw boobs, they saw it as in a sexual way, whereas the women knew that the female girls wouldn't see the boobs as something sexual on their doll. Uh-huh. So that was really hard for them, to make them see why it's so great and such a market for them. And yeah, like most of the other ones, they had men on there. But one, there was a few where Marvel was involved, where there was a woman who was also pretty successful. But like most of the other ones, mostly men. Really mostly men. Which is, yeah, also interesting to watch. But if you see yourself in there more, I think it's just also... same with toys, same with everything. You need to have women in the roles, because otherwise... you can't see all the sides from all perspectives all the time. And that's why in every business, in every movie, it just you can just see clearly in so many different situations in life how both opinions are important and both standpoints are important. And by always having one at the front line and one deciding for everyone else, it can't be inclusive. It just cannot be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's why I think... we need more of us everywhere.
I agree. I just looked up in-flight movies. So the last movie that I watched on the flight was Shazam. I watched it because I love Zachary Levy. I just think he's class. He's really phenomenal.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, it was good, actually. Okay. I was quite pleased with it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
No. Well, there's a kid in it. And yes, okay, this film is mostly... most of the cast is male. There's a couple women and a couple, like, there's a young girl and like an older girl, like 18 maybe, and then a young girl, maybe she's 6 or 7, and then a couple other women. But the whole concept of it is actually, it's really good, and it's really diverse as well, because it's, first of all, it's about a foster family and the mm-hmm. foster care system. Okay, so it's it can be hit or miss, especially like if you've got like some problems, like a mom who abandons her child. And so then he goes into the foster care system, but he's always trying to find his mom and runs away from everywhere because he's trying to find her. So then he finally gets to this new house where he's got like, there's 4 or 5 other kids living there. And the parents, the foster parents, are very much like people who have been through the system as well. And so they know what it's like, and trying to make it a really, a much more welcoming environment. But then the kids who are there already, like, so there's a fairly, the eldest girl is going off to university, and she's like trying to get accepted and writing letters and stuff. And then there's an overweight kid who doesn't speak an awful lot. Like, he's just overweight and doesn't talk. Then there's a disabled kid, mm-hmm. who he uses like a crutch, and like he's got like a long, like a forever illness, like, or disability, like it's not something that would go away. And he makes a lot of wry humor about his disability, and like using it as kind of his own crutch, like his disability is his crutch into humor. And mm-hmm. he's bullied really hard. There's an Asian kid who's like super smart, and there's a little like 6-year-old black girl who is just the cutest thing in the world. She's adorable. And then the kid that actually gets turned into Shazam is the one who's been hopping through foster homes. So even though, like, yeah, it's a superhero story, and it's about like ridding the world of evil or stopping the 7 deadly sins, and like, so there's the whole like concept there, but the actual situation is really good. Like, it's showing some like a real life situation, like things that kids go through. And like, I would say I don't think that foster kids get a lot of representation in films, like, yeah. or TV or anything like that paints it in a really good light, like with super good parents and people who are there to like trying to make it a good experience for the kids, mm-hmm. who genuinely love the children in their homes. Like, mm-hmm. it's usually, if there is some kind of foster home representation, it's like a broken establishment and you're getting abused by your foster parents, and mm-hmm. they rape you or they hit you, or like they're just horrible, horrible mm-hmm. people. So it was really nice to see a normal, like, a normal, healthy, functioning, loving home, full of like a really diverse group of kids that are all going through stuff. Yeah, but they're all loved and loving despite what they're going through.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I'm glad that I looked it up, because I just want to say super kudos to Shazam for doing that.
I need to watch that still. I haven't watched it. I've only seen recently a TV series where I think it's about a lesbian couple who have a lot of foster kids. I'm not sure if they're all adopted or foster kids. So that's probably the only thing where I would be aware of, where I know that some constellation like this is going on in, mm-hmm. on TV.
What is, if you can find the name of that show, I'd really like to know, because it sounds like something I would like.
I just stumbled across it, I think, when I turned on the TV the other day. Mm. But I will find it for you, and then I can let you know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of my Google search. Lesbian foster home.
I will find it, because I'm good at Googling.
Yay, you're better at Googling than me.
I do find crazy shit sometimes.
In conclusion, I'm super down with what's happening on TV right now, and movies and books.
Yeah. Same. I'm listening a lot to the Armchair Expert podcast, obviously, with Dax Shepard, and I hear that obviously they have an interesting approach to whatever movies do, and what the because they have all the actresses and all the people on the show all the time. I listened to the one with Emilia Clarke recently. It was amazing, because Emilia Clarke is amazing. Anyway, for me, or for us who are not in the industry, you watch a movie and you're like, yeah, whatevs, right? But I have never actually seen it as something that is building a society as much as it really actually does. Mm-hmm. Because an example that he gave was Tom Hanks in Philadelphia. Like, if that movie Philadelphia hadn't come out, people hadn't been educated about all the things having to do with HIV and all that stuff. So actually, it's the job of movies to educate the society and to form the society as it is. So I think, yeah, we sit there, we watch TV, and there is a lot of shit happening all the time. But movies, even mainstream movies, can do so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great that a lot of them really step into the role of doing that, of educating the people, of opening the horizon, and of showing different things.
Yeah, I think that the progression of movies right now is, I almost think it's coming maybe a few years too late. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I wish was coming out in the mid-2000s, like before 2010, kind of, like, because it's a lot of issues that are being debated now for, like, I don't know. Maybe this is all in response, to the 2016 presidential elections. People are like, "Fuck, we messed up. Like, we gotta get this content out there now." I don't know. Like, with more strong women, and like even the biopsies of like Elton John and Freddie Mercury. Like
Biopsies.
that's what they're called.
Oh, they're biopsies, not
Yeah.
biographies.
No, they're biopsies when
That's
they're
a
a film
really
like that.
weird word for it's amazing.
Yeah, but like you, even those movies like Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody, like they're showing these men who are very like prominent in the gay community, and but even though they were gay and they were always very open, or maybe not always, but like they were open about their sexuality, it was still something like, "Oh, I like their music, but he's gay," Whereas bringing this into mainstream media is just being like, it's putting that like acceptance into something. Like I think it's not for the benefit of younger generations, but for like older generations who in general are like, really like his music, but he's gay. It's just kind of like being like, yeah, but it's okay.
For sure. I've also watched The End of the Fucking World, which is nuts, but in a kind of, I really, really grew on me the longer I watched it. And
Okay.
she just said one thing during it that was, someone was hitting on her and she was asking her if she w about her sexuality and something. And she just said, "We're living in a b we have a big we're working with a big spectrum right nowadays." Where I was like, just alone that sentence is in relation to what we've had, where it was we. It's even like we're not that old. I mean, we're not ancient, but we're like going strong on 40. Yay! Oh, I'm closer than 40. That I'm closer to 40 than you are. Anyway, well, not for long. I like that that the youth nowadays, I mean, it obviously also has its own challenges, but sees that more, recognizes that more, and it's also talked about more, even just in small sentences like this. So just pointing, dropping it here and there, because revolution doesn't start with a day sometimes, especially with the movie business. And to what you said to the point, yes, I think it was necessary back in those days, but I think considering all that happened in the movie industry to women in the movie industry, it took those women a while to get to a point where they're all like, enough is enough. And I think those who exploded basically in that Me Too movement are also those who started to work on their position when from the point that started happening to dig their really work their way through the shit that they have had to go through in the industry, create their own jobs, create their own opportunities, become directors, producers, like so many who you see like who are on TV, like what is her name? Jesus. Jane the Virgin, the
Gina
act,
Reeves.
yeah. So she, for example, she's creating a company who is focusing on being super diverse on the set as well. And Reese Witherspoon is having her own, has her own show now on Netflix as well, where she puts like female strong women into the center and how their path was. And it takes a lot of work, I guess, to get away from what is happening. And that's what, why we haven't seen that so much when we might have needed it. And when you said like around 2000, 2010, because all these women who are now doing the shit, they needed to go through their own shit at the time. And which then peaked in that shitty Weinstein situation and the Me Too movement, I guess. But I think that is all a build up from what people and women have had to go through till to now, where I think this creative energy just exploded into and is spreading around all the movies that we're starting to see more and more of these days. I have my moments. Where I can say this thing in one episode and have my smart moments as well.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.